visited the White Tigers. At the Bellagio, we watched the water show set to music. We walked for what felt like miles in the hot sun before we stumbled upon the Monte Carlo. A huge sign for the pub at Monte Carlo hung from the side of the towering hotel. Arrogant bastard. It was a beer, and we were hot and thirsty. What other sign did we really need to know we'd found where we should stay? The cold air conditioning inside the pub hit my sweaty skin, causing a chill that shook its way through my body, leaving a small tremor behind. Goosebumps broke out on my arms and legs, and I didn't have to look down to know they weren't the only thing protruding from my skin. Chance's eyes lingered on my pebbled nipples for a moment, but then rose to meet mine. I arched an eyebrow, but said nothing.
"Can you put those things away?"
He shook his head and forced his eyes down to the bar menu.
"I can't help it. They have a mind of their own. They stand at attention whenever they want." "I know the feeling," he grumbled while shifting in his seat.
"What can I get you two?" the scantily clad waitress asked. Chance didn't look up but responded quickly.
"Two arrogant bastards, please."
I liked that he didn't even notice the waitress. "So, what do you want to do tonight?"
"The usual. Blackjack, boobs, and booze."
"Pardon?"
"When you come to Vegas, you come for three things. Playing cards, half-naked women, and partying like a rock star."
A busboy brought us utensils and smiled at me. Chance noticed.
"We already got the half-naked women covered," he grumbled.
"So, let me get this straight. You like half-naked women, just not when one of them is me?" The waitress brought our beer, and Chance chugged half of the oversized mug in one long gulp. God, what is it with me and that Adam's apple? Watching it, I felt it bobbing in the pit of my stomach.
"I like you half naked, just in the car or a closed tent, not prancing around town for everyone else to see."
"Were you dating Piper when that poster of you hit the stores?"
He squinted. "That's different."
"Oh yeah? How?"
"My being naked from the waist up doesn't have the same effect as you walking around with that little flesh-colored tank top with your massive tits bouncing up and down."
I sipped my beer. "Wanna bet?" Chance's eyebrows shot up.
"Princess, are you being brazen again?"
"Do you like brazen?" I asked with a sinister smile. He chuckled and shook his head.
"You're trying to kill me. I knew it."
We both ate ridiculously large hamburgers and washed them down with our even larger mugs of beer. I was going to need a month-long cleanse after this trip.
"So, what do you want to do tonight?"
Chance asked as we headed to the lobby to book rooms.
"Whatever you want."
He stopped short.
"That's a dangerous offer, Princess. You might want to amend your answer before I take you up on it."
Between his admission earlier today and the beer leaving me feeling a little tipsy, I was feeling bold. I walked into Chance's personal space and smirked.
"Whatever you want, I'm yours to do with what you please tonight."
He groaned, and I pretended I didn't notice him adjusting his shorts a few times as we checked into the hotel. I took less time to get ready for the senior prom than I did getting ready to go out that night. Normally, I tried to tame my naturally wavy hair, but instead, I encouraged it to be wild. Smoky eyes and glossed lips matched the sexiness of my open-toe high-heeled shoes, and the simple black dress showed off my figure in all the right places. Finally, toting around everything I owned had a perk. My look wasn't really me, and it definitely wasn't how I'd normally go out at night. But when Chance knocked and I opened the door, any apprehension I'd felt went out the window.
Fuck.
He raked his fingers through his hair. Inwardly, my peacock feathers fanned.
"I just need to grab my bag. Come in."
"No, thanks. I'll wait out here."
If I couldn't have him, I was damn straight going to make sure to rub in his face what he was missing.
A group that looked like they might have been a bachelor party stumbled to the elevator bank as we waited. I sort of loved it when Chance put his hand on the small of my back in an understated, possessive gesture. I really loved it when he didn't take it away, even when we walked out on the strip.
Where are we going?
Chance hailed a cab and opened the door for me. He answered by means of directing the driver. Spearmint Rhino, please. 5 minutes later, we were pulling into a parking lot. The neon sign read, Spearmint Rhino, but beneath it explained more. A gentleman's club.
We're going to a strip club?
We are. You said it was my choice all evening, he winked. Oddly, although I'd never been inside of one, I was more intrigued than put off. The interior was nothing like I'd imagined. I suppose I expected darkness and sticky floors, but instead, I was surprised to find two floors, a grand stage, and opulent decor. At first, it seemed more like a swanky nightclub than a place where women took off their clothes. The main stage had seating all around it, and there was a section with long couches for larger parties. Other areas could be curtained off for privacy. Some of the curtains were closed, others were open and inviting. I watched as two attractive women led a man by his hand into a private area behind a door. My eyes took in everything around me, but when I looked at Chance, he was only watching me.
Have you been here before?
He nodded. A mate's bachelor party last year.
You mean you don't frequent this place with your dates?
Chance chuckled and took my hand.
Just you, babe. You still think I'm a womanizer, don't you?
I let him lead me to a booth in a corner. It was quiet, private almost, but it didn't stay that way for long. A dancer wearing only a G-string, with a body I could only dream about, smiled as she approached.
Would your date like a dance?
He looked at me, caught my widened eyes, and declined graciously.
Not just yet. I think we're going to have a drink first.
He turned his attention to me. Still okay with me picking what we do all night? I rose to the challenge.
Of course.
We shared a bottle of wine that was grossly overpriced, and I actually forgot where we were for a while. I looked around and sighed. Where do they get all these perfect women from?
Chance emptied his glass. I only see one.
That's sweet, but I can't lift my leg over my shoulder like that one. I'd pointed to a woman who had to have been double-jointed, so I think she definitely has me beat.
Thank God.
Thank God she has me beat?
No, thank God you can't lift your leg over your shoulder. There's only so much a man can take before he breaks.
There was an intensity in his eyes that made me feel like if I pushed a little harder, I could break him. Only, I didn't want to break him. I wanted him whole.
So, have I passed your test yet, or do we have to pay $100 for another $9 bottle of wine?
Just one more thing. Then we can go. I was almost afraid to ask.
What's that?
I'm going to buy you a lap dance.
And that will prove I'm not uptight to you once and for all?
No, but it will sure as hell make my night.
The lap dance was nothing like I expected. It sort of turned me on, and I didn't know how to process that. I liked men. I never had any interest in women, so it left me feeling a bit confused on the way back to the hotel.
What's going on inside that head of yours, Aubrey?
The strip was jam-packed like it was 9 in the morning in Midtown Manhattan, even though it was almost 1 in the morning in Las Vegas. I'd had a little too much truth serum, I mean, wine. I leaned my head on Chance's shoulder in the back of the cab and took an audible breath.
Say my name again, cocky.
Princess. No, my real name.
Oh, uptight, princess.
I jabbed him in the chest with my elbow and laughed. No, really. I like the way it sounds when you say Aubrey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All right. Aubrey. He wrapped his arm around my shoulder and pulled me close. Aubrey, Snuggled tightly to Chance's side, I dozed for a few minutes in the car. His raspy voice saying my name with that incredible accent made me warm all over. It felt so right. It almost hurt to think we wouldn't be with each other all the time, soon enough. Chapter 8. The knock at my door came at 8 in the morning. I was awake, but definitely not awake enough to go into a gym. What was I thinking when I'd agreed to go? I was way too amenable last night. The alcohol had smoothed out my edges temporarily, but this morning I was feeling wrinkly again. "It's too early," I groaned after finding Chance already dressed in his workout gear. He looked sexy as all hell in his low-hanging running shorts and sneakers, but even that wasn't enough to help my dragging ass. He caught the door as I turned back to my bed and slipped back under the cover. Chance ripped the toasty blanket off of me. "What the hell?"
"Rise and shine, princess."
"I don't feel like getting up."
"You'll feel better after we do it."
I cocked an eyebrow and he smirked.
"Huh. I think I've corrupted you. Who's the pervert now?"
"A pervert is someone who has sexual behavior that is wrong or unacceptable." Word for word, I recited the definition he'd given me when we were arguing over my not admitting to masturbating. He chuckled, but also scooped me up from the bed and carried me to the bathroom.
"Did you see the size of that burger you ate yesterday?
I need to go to the gym and you're coming with." I pouted. "Are you telling me I'm fat?"
"Not at all. I'm telling you I like looking at that shapely ass of yours, and I'm selfish. I want to keep it that way."
I rolled my eyes, but went into the bathroom and washed up. When I came out, Chance was lying in my bed, both his hands behind his head as he leisurely watched a European soccer game. "Do you miss playing?" I asked. It was a stupid question. I regretted it the minute it came out of my mouth.
"I do."
"Can you get back into it somehow? I don't mean playing, maybe coaching or managing a team or something?"
"I've thought about that.
And I never actually finished my education. I went pro in my second year of college. Most universities and even high schools want their coaches to be educated. Sets an example for the students.
So go back to school?"
"I suppose I could. Might keep me busy for the next 2 or so years. I walked to the suitcase and got out my little workout top and matching spandex leggings. "I'll just be a minute. I need to change." Inside the bathroom, I pulled my hair back and dressed in my workout gear. I yelled to Chance through the bathroom door as I brushed my teeth.
"What are we doing? I like yoga."
"Yoga isn't a real workout. I usually weight train and run on the treadmill for 45 minutes for my cardio."
"Okay, maybe the gym will have both and we can do our own thing."
I opened the bathroom door and walked out, ready to go.
"That's what you're wearing to the gym?"
I looked down. My tummy was bare, but I didn't think it looked too suggestive or odd.
"What's wrong with this?"
"Nothing." He turned off the TV and grabbed my hand on the way to the door.
"Guess I'm doing yoga today, too."
We actually compromised in the gym. He took a yoga class with me, and then we ran on side-by-side treadmills for a half an hour. After, we were both starving. Last night, we'd talked about staying another night, so I broached the subject on the way to breakfast. "Were you serious about wanting to stay again tonight?"
"I'd stay forever if we could."
Those little things he said gave me hope, even though he'd all but written the words "never gonna happen" on my forehead. "Well, then tonight is my night. You got to pick what we did last night. Now, it's my turn." Chance squinted and held my gaze for a heartbeat too long.
"I'm game."
"Great," I smiled. "I want to go visit Esmeralda Snowflake this morning. She's probably scared. We're paying a pampered pet place $80 a day to babysit that thing. They give him 3 squares and it sleeps in air conditioning, when it normally lives outside and walks in front of speeding BMWs. And you're worried it's scared this morning?" "It's my day. Did I complain when you got to pick whatever we did?
I only got a night. Why is it that you're getting a whole day and night?
Because, he chuckled.
Good answer, counselor. Do you argue that well in court?
Shut up, I grasped for something. I get a whole day and night because you made me go to a strip club and get a lap dance.
Table for two, Chance said as we arrived at the hostess station of the buffet. Then he turned his attention back to me.
You liked it. I think you even got a little turned on.
I did not.
My face reddened. Chance spoke to the hostess as she seated us. The woman was probably in her late 60s, not that he cared. She got a lap dance from a stripper last night and won't admit to liking it. The woman smiled and shook her head. Her Jamaican accent was thick when she spoke.
No shame here, sweetheart. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. You enjoy a little shakety shake if you want to. Can go back to being your conservative self on Monday. I'll grab you some coffee, and you can help yourself to the buffet whenever you're ready.
She walked away.
Come on, admit it. You liked it. That woman's ass grinding down on you?
Chance shrugged.
I know I liked it.
Why do you enjoy making me admit things that are embarrassing? I'd already confessed one embarrassing thing. I had no intention of offering anything else.
You mean like when you admitted you pleasured yourself?
I felt the temperature on my face heat. I stood to head to the buffet line, even though I'd just sat down. But Chance grabbed my wrist and stopped me.
Don't ever be embarrassed by pleasuring yourself or enjoying a lap dance. It's beautiful, and so are you.
Taking an early afternoon stroll, we'd just returned back from visiting the goat. Sweet boy got really excited and jumped all over Chance, licking his face when we arrived. Poor thing, probably thought we were never coming back. Esmeralda Snowflake was so cute when he saw you. My face is still sticky from that attack.
You know you missed him, I chuckled.
What are we going to do with that thing anyway?
That thing? Don't refer to him like that. He's like our adopted child.
Chance came to a halt and looked up at the sky, cracking up.
A child?
Yes. He has no one but us in this entire world.
Seriously, though, Aubrey, after we part ways, what are you going to do with him? You can't keep him.
My heart suddenly dropped. After we part ways. My mind was trying to grapple with the fact that he'd implied that this trip was definitely it for us. In typical Chance fashion, just when he'd given me a little bit of hope that something was developing between us, he'd go and ruin it. I was silent for a while before I forced myself to speak. I'm gonna try to find a farm that I trust. I'll keep him with me somehow until I'm certain it's the right fit.
Fair enough. He's lucky to have you.
He was searching my face, trying to read my sullen expression.
Have you thought about what you want to do for the rest of the afternoon?
You know what? I really don't care. You decide.
Chance stopped walking again and turned to me. Wait, you want to forfeit your ability to choose whatever we do today? Why on earth would you do that?
Because you basically just admitted that I mean nothing to you and I don't really want to be around you at all right now.
I'm just not in a decisive mood. There's a dark cloud in the air, Princess. I don't know what I did or said this time, but I feel like I know you well enough to know that something suddenly pissed you off.
Drop it, Chance, okay? We don't have much time left here. Don't waste it trying to read me. Sometimes people get into bad moods. End of story.
Just pick something.
His face turned serious.
Are you all right?
Yes, I promise.
I know I was joking about it earlier, but is it your time of the month?
No!
He scratched his chin as we stood facing each other in the crowded promenade.
I think I have just the idea of what you need, something that's going to relieve all the tension that has been building up inside of you over the past few days.
Oh, really? He wiggled his eyebrows.
Oh, yeah. Wait here.
He walked away to make a phone call out of earshot. As I stood there in the middle of the dry heat, I vowed to try to keep my mood in check moving forward. I had to accept this situation for what it really was, a road trip, nothing more, nothing less. I needed to enjoy these last hours with him and stop overreacting. Upon his return, his mouth spread into a wide smile. Those dimples. A reminder that my new stance wasn't going to be easy. Grabbing my hand, he said, "Come on." I had no idea where he was taking me. I couldn't have told you if it was out to ice cream or up to his bedroom. After a 5-minute walk, we ended up back at the hotel. Following him into the elevator, I noticed that he pushed the button for a different floor than where our rooms were located. "What's on the third floor?" He winked. "You'll see." When the doors slid open, I saw the sign, Tranquil Waters Spa. "We're going to the spa?" "Well, we're getting you a rubdown." Before I could ask him to elaborate, he walked up to the receptionist. "Couples massage appointment on abatement." I couldn't help but laugh and shake my head. "Couples massage?" "Yes, we're getting one together. I could use some tension relief myself." An attractive woman approached and batted her eyelashes at Chance. "Right this way, bitch." We followed her down a long hallway and into a room with dimmed lighting. "Take off everything but your underwear and wrap yourself in these towels," she said. "Your masseuses will be in shortly." It was completely quiet, except for the sound of soothing instrumental music. The room smelled like mint, and there were flickering electric candles sparsely arranged around the space. It would normally be a relaxing experience were it not for...
"You heard her. Take off your clothes," Chance said gruffly.
A chill ran through me upon hearing the dominant tone of his voice. "Do you really think I'm going to just disrobe in front of you right now?" Instead of answering my question, he grabbed at the material of his shirt. I watched every movement of his rippling ab muscles as he slowly lifted it off. If that vision were a GIF on Tumblr, I would have replayed it over and over. He unzipped his jeans and slid them down before tossing them on a chair. He stood before me in nothing but navy boxer briefs as he blatantly stared at my chest.
"Your turn."
"Turn around then," I said softly.
"Do I have to?"
he joked and flashed a wry smile before he moved to face the wall. Removing my tank top, I stared at the defined muscles of his back and then down to his ass. He was standing right under one of the bulbs of the recessed lighting. It shined onto his delicious derriere like a spotlight. The crack in the middle of it was perfectly outlined through the fabric. He had the most phenomenal ass. I wanted to bite it. When I unsnapped my bra and threw it on top of where his jeans were strewn, his breath hitched. I wrapped myself in the plush white towel and lay down, stomach first, onto my table. This was supposed to be a relaxing experience, but I definitely felt a little nervous. "You can turn around."
"You're no fun,"
he said as he lay down on the table next to me. "What, did you expect me to be standing in front of you stark naked?"
"One can only dream."
We were both on our stomachs with our heads turned toward each other. His eyes would occasionally travel down the length of my body. He whispered, "You okay, princess?" Something about the tone of his question tugged at my heartstrings. I mentally cut them with an imaginary scissors. I was going to stick to my vow to keep my feelings in check if it killed me. "Yeah, I'm okay." When he raised his eyebrows skeptically, I smiled. "Really, I am. This was a good idea. Thank you."
"I'm glad you're pleased."
After 10 minutes of waiting, I was starting to wonder if they'd forgotten about us when the door slowly creaked open. A small Asian woman named Anna walked around to the other side of Chance. To my left was a large, muscular man who resembled the actor Joe Manganiello. Chance's eyes darkened, and he turned to the woman.
"He's gonna do her."
"At least someone's gonna do me," I muttered under my breath. "Yes,
We find that it works best this way. Men tend to be more comfortable with a female masseuse, and our female clients really enjoy James. Is there a problem?
Chance was just looking at me, his mouth agape.
No, no problem at all, I answered, looking straight into Chance's eyes.
I prefer a man.
James's voice was low and deep.
Please unwrap your towel and slide it off. You can stay on your stomach.
This was too good to be true. Cocky's plan totally backfired. Chance's eyes were glued to every movement as I removed the towel from under me. Then his gaze landed on the sides of my bare breasts pressed against the table. Anna dripped hot oil down the length of Chance's back. He should have been closing his eyes and relaxing. Instead, he was looking straight at James pouring the same oil on me. I could see his back rising and falling as his breathing quickened. James started to rub the oil into my skin. At one point, his hands were massaging the very bottom of my back and were practically kneading the top of my ass. Chance's gaze then turned into more of a death stare. He was seriously pissed, but I couldn't help feeling happy about it. Watching the woman touching Chance in the same way was also getting me very riled up, but I was too preoccupied with his observing me to figure out whether I was jealous or turned on. Probably both. After several minutes of watching Chance follow every movement of James's hands, I couldn't help but ask him, "Are you okay?" His voice was hoarse.
"No."
He was seriously burning with jealousy. I couldn't figure him out. If he only knew that the entire time I kept imagining it was him touching me. I wanted that more than anything.
"How much longer?" Chance asked the woman.
"Try to relax, sir. You're extremely tight." 40 minutes later, our massages ended. Chance hadn't taken his eyes off James's hands the entire time. I suppose the only reason I knew that was because I hadn't taken my eyes off of him watching me. Things were extremely quiet when Anna and James left us alone to get dressed. Chance's back was toward me when I asked him, "How do you feel?"
"Tighter than when I walked in."
"Why is that?"
"Because I just paid $350 to watch a man touching you for an hour."
"It's okay for a woman to touch you, but not okay for a man to touch me?"
He suddenly turned around before I was dressed, prompting me to cover my breasts with my shirt.
"It's not okay for a man to touch you when I fucking can't,"
he snapped before turning back around, allowing me to finish getting dressed. After several seconds of silence, he finally said,
"I'm sorry, Princess. I acted like a fucking asshole." I really loved his jealousy.
"You're lucky I'm drawn to assholes. Cocky bastards, too." Pulling my arms through my shirt, I said, "Turn around, asshole.
Since I'm batting zero, I'd like to give you back your pass to choose what we do for the rest of the day."
"I'll take it. I think we both need to cool off. Plus, we're all sticky from that oil. Why don't we just hang out at the pool?"
"I'm down for that."
"Wait, we don't have swimsuits."
"We'll buy them at the shop downstairs. My treat if I can pick yours," he winked.
"Deal."
"Really?" He looked surprised. "You trust me?"
"Yeah," I smiled. "I do."
This was the new Aubrey. Carefree. I wasn't going to get attached. I was going to loosen up and have fun with him.
"All right."
Chance surprised me with his choice of bikini. There were some really skimpy string ones, but he chose one with a modest sports bra top and a bottom that covered most of my ass. It was white with little black polka dots and had a small ruffle over the back of the bottom. He also bought a pair of sleek black swim trunks for himself that hugged his ass beautifully. We found two white lounge chairs next to each other and had brought snacks and magazines. It was late in the afternoon, so the pool area wasn't as crowded. We'd both taken a dip together before returning to our spots to chill. So far, this might have been my favorite part of the trip.
What do you want to drink? He asked.
Something frozen and fruity.
Chance got up to head to the bar. A few girls were ogling him as he sauntered toward the other side of the pool. He didn't seem to notice how often people checked him out. Maybe he noticed, but just wasn't affected by it. After he returned with two daiquiris, we drank in silence. Playing with the paper umbrella in my drink, I looked over at him.
This is nice.
He smiled. I'm pretty sure if there was anything I could choose to be doing in the world right now, it would be this.
This pool is beautiful.
It's not just the place, it's the company.
As he looked over at me in that moment, his eyes were telling me a story. They were telling me that he truly meant what he said. I believed that Chance wanted me, that he wanted to be with me, but that he truly couldn't. Whatever it was that was holding him back was something out of his control. Those pesky feelings I'd been trying to suppress began to creep up again. So I buried my face in an In Touch weekly magazine. Chance was sucking on a red pixie stick when I got a sudden craving for sugar and asked, "You have any more of those?"
"I just might," he said, winking as he dug into the plastic bag we'd brought and handed me one. I started to suck on it and barely anything was coming out. Then I looked down and noticed that there was a hole at the bottom end of the stick. The orange powder had spilled out onto my stomach.
Chance laughed. "Messy girl.
Do you have a napkin?"
"No need," he said. "Let me."
Faster than I could blink, Chance leaned over me and lowered his head to my stomach. He slowly ran his tongue along my navel, licking upward in one straight line to just inches from my breasts. I writhed under him, feeling a total loss of control as he lapped up all of the powder. "Mmm," he moaned as he sucked the last bit of sugar off of my skin and licked his lips. My breathing was ragged when he returned to his spot on the lounge chair. He'd left me sitting there, completely aroused, but in shock. We didn't talk about what he'd done. He said he had to use the bathroom at one point and disappeared for a bit. Just like that, all of the resolve I'd built up today was obliterated.
Chapter 9. Since the upper hand in choosing our activities was still mine, I decided I wanted to try a really nice restaurant for dinner. We ended up at the Foundation Room, which had a killer view that was 63 stories up, overlooking the strip. It was themed like an old country house with a cozy vibe. After we devoured the crab cake appetizer, Chance opted for the steak while I ordered the grouper. Trying hard not to think about how it felt when he licked the sugar off of me earlier, it was to no avail. Every time I looked up at his lips, I could still feel them on me. We'd ordered two bottles of wine, which seemed to flow endlessly along with the conversation. We talked straight for at least 2 hours. Chance spoke to me about growing up in Australia and talked more about his years in training for a soccer career that never happened. We'd shared stories about our father's battles with cancer. I'd divulge a lot of the details of my breakup with Harrison. I was feeling even closer to Chance. By the end of the night, it was as if I knew everything there was to know about him, except where his life stood now. That seemed to be the big black hole. Further adding to my angst, he'd gotten a phone call in the middle of dinner, which caused him to get up from the table. I was pretty sure whoever it was had something to do with why he was holding back with me. When he returned to his seat, my heart was racing as I asked, "Who was that?" He looked me dead in the eyes, his tone serious.
"No one important, Aubrey."
Instead of grilling him, I poured myself more wine. With each sip, a false sense of happiness overrode my insecurities. I became happier and happier. By the time we left the restaurant, Chance had to put his arm around me just to keep me balanced. I wouldn't say I was piss-ass drunk,
but I was definitely intoxicated. So was Chance. We were laughing about nothing. At one point, we stumbled upon a chapel. There was a sign that read, "Fake weddings here." Chance stopped me in the middle of the sidewalk. The vapors of alcohol on his breath infiltrated my nostrils as he spoke close to my face. "Marry me, princess."
"What?"
"We have an illegitimate goat, a fake child together," he laughed. "It's only proper that we partake in a fake wedding ceremony to make you an honest woman."
"You're insane."
"Shit, we can text a picture to Harry. How fucking awesome would that be?" His mischievous smile sent tremors of desire through me. "Come on, it'll be fun." He led me by the hand into the small white chapel. A large man dressed up as Elvis stood alone in the entryway.
"It's a good night for a wedding," he greeted monotonously.
"Do you need a reservation?" Chance asked.
"We're slow tonight. We can take you right now if you want."
Chance looked at me, his semi-drunken eyes glassy. "What do you say?" I shrugged. "There's no license. It's not real, so no harm, right?" We each filled out a form with some of our basic information. For a cool $199, we ordered the full wedding experience that included a ceremony, 5 digital images, souvenir rings, a silk bouquet, and my choice of borrowed dress. Before I knew it, I was being whisked away by a woman named Zelda with a mop of frizzy red hair. She brought me to a back room where there was a rack of assorted white dresses in different shapes and sizes. She had me try on a few different ones, and I ended up picking out a strapless lace mermaid-style gown that was a little too long. My boobs were also spilling out of the top. It was the one dress that I liked, though. Zelda helped me do my hair into an updo with tendrils framing my face. I had no idea what to expect when I walked back out there. Music began playing.
"Are they starting?" I asked.
"Your boyfriend must have picked a song, so yes."
"We're supposed to pick the song?"
"We have a library of music, and we usually let the groom choose while the bride is getting dressed. That's the best use of time."
I recognized it as "Marry Me" by Train. Even though the whole thing was staged, I couldn't help the butterflies that were swarming inside of me as the music played. As much as I knew this was fake, my nerves seemed to be every bit the same as they would have been were this a real wedding.
"This is ridiculous. Why am I so nervous?"
Zelda handed me my small bouquet of silk calla lilies.
"Ready?"
A deep breath escaped me.
"Sure."
Suddenly, I could feel myself starting to sober up. This was not the time to lose my alcohol high. When I appeared at the threshold that led to the small aisle, Chance was waiting with one hand crossed over the other. He was still wearing the same fitted black button-down shirt he had on at dinner, except a small boutonniere was now pinned to the front. He looked so handsome and nervous, too. This was the weirdest experience. As the music played, I took very slow steps toward him. My heart was beating through the tight lace fabric hugging my breasts. Halfway down the aisle, I tripped over my dress and nearly wiped out. Chance snorted and started to crack up, and I couldn't help laughing, too. That definitely lightened the mood for the rest of my trip down the aisle. Zelda gestured for my bouquet as she positioned herself diagonally behind me. Apparently, she was my maid of honor, too. Elvis started to speak.
"Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to witness the union of Chance Engelbert Bateman and Aubrey Elizabeth Bloom in holy matrimony."
"Engelbert?" He winked and whispered.
"Not really."
Elvis continued.
"Which is an honorable estate that is not to be entered into unadvisedly or lightly, but reverently and soberly."
"Not exactly soberly," Chance cracked.
"If anyone can show just cause why they may not be lawfully joined together, let them speak now or forever hold their peace."
We both looked behind us to the empty seats. you could have heard a pin drop. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Zelda spoke from behind me.
I do.
Will you be using standard vows, or do you have your own?
We answered at the same exact time. Standard, I said, while Chance blurted out, I have my own.
You have your own? I whispered.
Yeah, he grinned. We'll start with the bride, then. Elvis recited the standard vow, and I repeated them word for word after him. Then it came time for Chance to speak. He paused, closed his eyes briefly, then looked into my eyes as he took my hands in his.
Aubrey, from the moment you opened your smart mouth and called me an asshole in the first few seconds we met, I knew you were a pistol. At first, I thought it was the stick up your ass. I later realized it was just a protective mechanism. You'd been hurt, and you didn't want to let anyone in. Sometimes those who put up the biggest shields are those who are protecting the biggest hearts. My Gram used to always say, if you want to know the size of a person's heart, look at how they treat animals or those that can offer them nothing in return. For some reason, you decided to trust a random bloke long enough for me to figure out that you have the biggest heart there is. You are just as beautiful on the inside as you are on the outside. You turned what started out as a miserable trip into the adventure of a lifetime. You can't begin to understand how much this time with you has meant to me. If you take nothing else from this, please remember that you deserve to be happy. Tears were stinging my eyes. Oh, my God. He'd caught me so off guard with that speech that it stunned me into silence. It was beautiful, but also sounded awfully like a cryptic goodbye. There wasn't a trace of humor in his expression. He'd meant every word. I heard nothing else that Elvis said up until, by the power vested in me, by the state of Nevada, you may now kiss the bride. I wasn't looking at Chance anymore. I just shook my head repeatedly to let Elvis know he should skip that part, that Chance and I wouldn't be doing that. We're not gonna kiss. The next thing I knew, Chance's big, warm hands had cupped my face as he leaned in and growled over my mouth. The fuck we aren't. In an instant, his lips devoured mine. My legs went almost totally limp. My heart was beating out of control as he pressed his body into me. He nudged my mouth open unabashedly with his tongue as it went in search of mine. Unable to get enough of the sweet taste of his breath, I opened wider, letting him in. He moaned into my mouth as I moved my hands upward to tug on his silky hair. He stopped kissing me long enough to lightly bite my bottom lip before releasing it. The kiss then became hungrier. I had no idea how long it lasted because a sense of time didn't exist for me anymore. Elvis coughed. All right, that's nice. We have another couple now waiting to get hitched.
Chance pulled away. Completely dazed, I looked up at him. His hair was all messed up from my fingers running through it. His stare was penetrating, and he looked just as bewildered as me. What the fuck just happened? The mood changed as we exited the chapel and found two couples waiting in the lobby. The first couple looked like they might skip the wedding and go straight for the honeymoon, right there in the lobby. The groom was dressed in an American flag suit consisting of red pants, a blue jacket spotted with stars, white shirt, and a red and white striped tie. When he released his vacuum suck of his future fake bride's face, he lifted her into his arms, and I saw that she had on a matching outfit, only hers was an American flag bikini.
Do you speak Russian? He asked Elvis, who had followed us into the lobby with Zelda in tow.
Elvis shook his head.
Bilingual services are extra. You need an appointment.
How much extra?
$150. We have to pay the translator.
The patriotic groom reached into his pocket and pulled out a small wad of bills. He frowned, and his fake bride started shouting something in what I could only presume was Russian. She stamped her foot and flailed her arms as she ranted. Chance snickered and leaned to me. "And I thought you were a bitch." "Hey," I smacked at his abs. He smiled, and I was torn between being sad that the sexual tension had ebbed and being relieved we seemed to be back to our version of normal. Chance held his hand out to me. "Mrs. Biteman?" Shit. I liked the sound of that. A lot. I put my hand in his, and Zelda ran over. "Would you like to do your wedding photos inside or outside? We have a lovely gazebo and pond out back. There's even a swan in the pond. She has an injured wing, but she looks beautiful in the background of photographs." "We'll do them inside," Chance responded quickly. "But the swan sounds nice." "We don't have room for another pet. I'm not letting you near that thing." I rolled my eyes. "We can just skip the pictures." "Not a chance, princess. Harry needs one of those babies." A dirty grin tempted at the corner of his lips as his eyes dropped to my chest. I had some serious cleavage trying to spill out in that form-fitting dress. Plus, you in that dress? That's top-of-the-toilet tank material right there. Pervert. We posed for 4 pictures. It was reminiscent of dreadful prom photos. The last photo, Zelda made a suggestion. "How about something romantic now?" I cocked my head and challenged Chance, laughing. "Yeah, sweet talker, how about something romantic?" Zelda changed the background we were standing in front of. No longer were we standing in front of the famous old neon Las Vegas sign. We were now transported to a honeymoon suite of some sort. The background had a photo of a large bed filled with rose petals, and candles were lit all around the room. It was so ridiculously cheesy, I couldn't help but laugh. "Come on, it's our fake honeymoon night. There's our bed. Don't you have something romantic to say?" Chance glanced back, got a load of the scene, and turned back to me. "I'm not exactly the romantic type." "What a surprise." Chance's eyebrows lifted, and then he stared at me for a second before he leaned in to whisper in my ear, "How's this for wedding night romance? If that were our bed, and I was lucky enough for you to be my wife." He paused and took a breath in, exhaling warmth on my neck. "If I was lucky enough to get to have you, I'd own every inch of that body. For the first time in your life, you'd give up that control you cling to so tightly. I'd demand it, and you'd willingly give it to me." He practically growled the rest. "That bed. I'd fuck you full of romance." He pulled his head back to look at me. Our noses were touching, but neither of us leaned in to formalize the connection. It wasn't necessary. Zelda interrupted. "Beautiful. I think I captured the moment. I guess you're a romantic after all, Mr. Bateman." Chance smirked. I stood in place, unable to move. "Lucky for me. It seems my bride likes my brand of romance after all." Chapter 10. We were both sober by the time we arrived back at our hotel, although a big part of me still felt off-kilter. I was drunk, just not from alcohol any longer. We were both still wearing the cheap metal bands that were keepsakes from our fake wedding, and when we arrived at my hotel door, Chance scooped me up off my feet. "Gotta carry my bride over the threshold." I wrapped my arms around his neck and sagged into his chest as he unlocked the door with one hand. "Wonder what the history of this is, so the man can show off how strong he is? I think it started because the wife was nervous about losing her virginity." I snorted. "Well, at least we don't have to worry about that one." Chance's eyes bore into me. He didn't even try to hide the jealousy. It gave me an idea.
Do you want to get married someday? I asked.
Someday? I thought I just did.
He set me down just inside of my room. I mean for real. I wonder who will be carrying me over the threshold when it's my real wedding.
Chance's eyes were serious. I don't want to think about it. I kept pushing.
Maybe my new firm will be chock full of eligible bachelors.
You mean like Harrison?
I shrugged and sat down to take off my 4-inch heels. I've decided I'm not going to let him keep me down any longer. I've been moping around for 2 months. When I get settled into California, I'm going to get back on the horse.
I looked up and grinned. Chance was still standing near the door.
What? No dirty comment about me getting back on the horse and taking a good ride?
You're slipping, Cocky.
His jaw flexed.
Maybe you should take up with that magic wand again, rather than rushing into things.
I stood up and walked to him, turning my back and pulling my hair to the side.
Can you unzip me?
The room was silent for a long moment before I felt Chance's hands touch me. One gripped my hip firmly, almost as if he had to hold on tight to keep it in place. The other reached up to my zipper. The sound it made as he slowly unzipped was positively erotic.
Seriously, what was wrong with me?
Neither of us moved. We stood there with thick tension swirling around us.
Chance? I breathed. I didn't even recognize my own voice. It was so low and husky.
His fingers dug deeper into my hip. It almost hurt, but turned me on at the same time. I waited for him to say something. Anything. I kept waiting. Neither of us moved. Still nothing.
Chance?
I tried to turn around and face him, but his hands kept me in place.
Don't. I need to go, Aubrey.
He paused and blew out a deep breath. The guy who gets to carry you over that threshold for real is going to be one lucky bastard. I didn't turn around until I heard the door to my room click closed behind him. I hadn't wanted to let him see my tears. It was a good 2 hours before I heard him return. The door between our adjoining rooms was cracked open enough so I could hear him moving around. My head was spinning, and the thought of never seeing him again after tomorrow seriously had me sick to my stomach. I'd spent more than a year with Harrison, and the day I moved out didn't hurt half as much as this did. Lying in my own bed, knowing Chance was so physically close, yet I couldn't touch him, made me crazy. I kept on replaying his words over and over in my mind, dissecting each and every conversation I was able to recall. He'd told me I was beautiful. He'd spelled out the things he fantasized about doing to me in vivid detail. He'd said the man who I wound up with was lucky. His words told me he wanted me. His eyes told me he wanted me. His body, his breath, the way he stared at my body like he was clinging to his last thread of control. I was damn certain he wanted me. That much I'd finally accepted. He just couldn't. Couldn't was the word he'd actually used, like it was wrong to allow himself. I knew he was trying to protect me from whatever was holding him back, but I didn't want to be protected anymore. What I wanted was to be fucked into oblivion, and it was time I took control of the situation. I am woman, damn it. Hear me roar. With adrenaline pumping through my veins, I slipped into my bathroom, washed my face, and let my bedtime ponytail loose. I lifted my nightshirt over my head and stared at myself in the mirror. The underwear I was wearing were cute, a pale pink lace demi-cup bra with matching boy shorts. But I was done beating around the bush. I shimmied out of my underwear, unhooked my bra, and took in my reflection. Roar. My cheeks were flushed, my body was toned, and for the first time in a long time, I liked what I saw. There was no time left. I had to do it now before I chickened out. With each rise and fall of my chest, courage was starting to disappear. I looked at myself one last time, took a deep breath, and headed for the door that separated us. Here comes the lioness. Chance was walking out of the bathroom as I walked in. He had nothing on but a plush white towel wrapped around his narrow waist. It was dark, but the lights coming from the Vegas Strip outside of the bedroom windows illuminated the room enough so I could see. Droplets of water glistened from his chest. He was quite literally breathtaking, because my heart was beating wildly in my chest, and it felt like all of the oxygen was sucked out of my lungs when he caught sight of me. We stared at each other wordlessly for a moment. The flex of his jaw as he tried to hold my eyes was a testament to how hard he attempted to resist. But he lost the internal battle he had waged when his eyes dropped. I watched each and every second as he took me in. First, my breasts, perky nipples taut and waiting, greeted him. His chest heaved up and down. I felt the caress of his touch on my skin as his eyes continued their descent lower. He took his time to appreciate the narrow of my waist, curve of my hip, and flatness of my stomach. Both of our breaths were shallow and fast when his eyes reached still lower, falling on my thin landing strip. Between my legs was soaked, and we hadn't even touched yet. I almost lost it when he licked his lips. "Aubrey," he groaned in warning. It sounded like he was in actual physical pain. He was about to reject me again, and there was no way I could bear it. I wanted him desperately, even knowing I'd only be getting a piece. I pressed my finger to his lips and silenced him. Shock registered on his face when my other hand yanked the towel from around his waist free. I held it up in front of his face and ceremoniously let it drop to the floor. Chance was gloriously hard, and I wanted him more than I'd ever wanted anything in my life. "We need to consummate our marriage." He closed his eyes, and for a few agonizing seconds, I waited. When they reopened, everything was different. His pupils were dilated, wild and crazy, filled with desire and raw need. It was like looking in a mirror. "Get up on the desk." He lifted his chin toward the floor-to-ceiling windows. A long desk was positioned so you could sit and look out onto the strip while working. There was an edge to his voice, a stern, demanding tone that I'd never heard him use before. It made my knees weak as I crossed the room and positioned my ass where he instructed. "I fantasize about you every night when I go to bed, and wake up with a picture of you in my head and a hard-on every morning." I knew he was attracted to me, but his admission reflected the level of obsessive thoughts I'd been having about him. It made me brave again. "Show me. Show me how you see us when you fantasize. I want to turn your dreams into reality." His eyes gleamed and lips curled up to a wicked grin. "My dreams don't have rainbows and doves. They have me pulling your hair as I fuck you up on that desk. You want to be my real live dream, princess?" He prowled toward me and stood directly in front of where I was perched. I swallowed hard and nodded. The dimples appeared. Although the big guns weren't even necessary, I was already a goner. "Spread your legs." The way he was looking at me made it easy to shed my inhibitions.
You have the most perfect tits I've ever seen in my life. And that pussy, it's even better than I imagined. I shivered.
You have some dirty mouth on you. He lowered his mouth to my breast.